So John chapter 11, verses 1 to 16. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, Jesus went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Morning, online family. How are you? It's good to have people in the building. It's good to have people online. And this morning, as we think about our second sermon in our sermon series about God being late, about God not turning up, about the things that don't make sense about God, we're thinking today about God being late. Who of you hates to wait? Oh, we've got a few people lying to the officer. Pennant and form is here. And we've got a few people with the honest hands up. It is difficult. Some of us do not enjoy the waiting space. Perhaps you don't like waiting for the kettle to boil, something that simple. Perhaps traffic lights drive you crazy. Perhaps public transport and delayed waits and not the bus isn't running on time, so then you're late. All of those things can make us feel a bit like we hate waiting. They can feed into our impatience. One of the most patient things I've ever been involved in is one of my flights to Sydney from Brisbane one day was not cancelled, but it was delayed about four times. And the people around me just sat and read books and talked to each other and played on their phones and talked to their children and walked around and went to the bathroom. And I heard an American say, "If this was America, this would be in an uproar now." This will probably go out to Americans, but it was from an American, so there we go. It was the most patient I'd ever seen a large group of people wanting to be in another destination, and was pretty proud of them all, even though I knew no one. So we're talking today about when God seems late. So if it's frustrating enough for when a human is late, how frustrating must it be when the Almighty God seems late? In our series, we're talking about when God doesn't make sense. And the reality is, there are many of you right now, in the midst of everything, who are probably thinking, God doesn't make any sense right now. You're waiting on God to do something. You're praying about it. You're believing that God is going to do something. You know he can, and yet he's not. That is a difficult space to be in. And if you're like me, sometimes you start asking the question, why doesn't God do something about it? Because as followers of Jesus, we have the knowledge that he is all-powerful and he can. So why doesn't he? I don't know what it means for you right now. I don't know the journey that each of you are on. But I do assume that you're praying over different things, that you're wanting different outcomes. And the reality is that it will be different for each one of us. At different times in our lives, we face the waiting season where God could do something about it. We've seen him do it in other people's lives. I think that's the biggest kick, is that we've seen it happen for others, yet it hasn't happened for us. We have faith for it. We believe for it. And yet God doesn't do what we think he should do, and we end up waiting. It is hard, and I acknowledge that. Perhaps one of the hardest things that my husband Wes has ever waited for is the birth of our first child. And perhaps the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in that space is not kill him. Because we went to the prenatal classes, and the nurse doing the class was dumb enough to say, a baby can be born at 36 weeks and live. So, of course, my pregnancy gets to 36 weeks and we get the nagging. Will it be today? Will it be today? Will it be today? Will it be today? Something was going to be today. And it wasn't the birth of the first child. However, I understood this because, as the whole planet knows, Wes is adopted. So this would actually be the very, very ever first blood relative that he would ever meet. And he was very excited, as we all were. We were all extremely excited. Mum and Dad extended their holidays so that they could meet her. It was an exciting moment for us all. Yet my excitement started to die with the nagging from the front row. But he couldn't wait. He had prayed this baby would come early. Why you'd want that, I don't know. He had he wanted to meet her. He had been praying and waiting. And only God knew when this baby would arrive. And in true God teaching us a lesson space, she was 9 days over. So that was lovely. So it's hard. The waiting space can be incredibly, incredibly difficult. Yet the outcome of the waiting space in God is amazing. Only you know what has gone on between you and God. Only you know how you have asked God to intervene in what you want him to do. Maybe it's work, maybe it's education, maybe it's a painful family situation. Are you waiting for a health miracle and wondering, where is God? With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season. We're going to look at a really powerful story of Mary, Lazarus, and Martha, or should I say Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, because the girls have to go together. If you didn't grow up in church or Sunday school, you won't necessarily know that Mary and Martha were very close friends with Jesus. In Luke's gospel, there's a story about Jesus going to their place for dinner. So he's not just a casual acquaintance. He's familiar with them, and it's like to the don't have to knock on the door anymore, just waltz in kind of friendship. In this story, Mary is relaxing and Martha is demanding that Jesus make her help her, make Mary help her. And as Wes talked this morning about choosing the better thing, that's the part of the story where Jesus reminds her, Mary has chosen the better thing, and he's not going to make her move from that to do the lesser thing. Some of us are Marthas, some of us are Marys, and some of us have both mixed in there together. We'll all do different things, but our one mainstay is Jesus. When their brother Lazarus got sick, they fully expected that Jesus would do for Lazarus what he was doing for everybody else. Strangers even, which really cut the girls to the quick. He's healing strangers. So certainly he would come and do the same thing for their brother. But God doesn't always make sense. John 11, 1 to 3 says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Lord, the one you love is sick. I don't know if you've ever thought about that sentence before, but back then, those words indicated no names were necessary because you knew who you loved the most. And in this case, Jesus knew Lazarus was sick. The girls had said, "The one you love is sick." It translated in Jesus' mind, "Lazarus is sick." They were telling him his best friend was sick. They were asking for him to come and heal the one he loved. They were certain Jesus would drop everything and head straight to the house and attend the sick. They wait and Jesus doesn't turn up. Ever waited for somebody to turn up thinking, "Oh, okay, well, it's 5. They'll be here in a minute. It's 5:10. Well, they're obviously going to be here shortly. They'll be here shortly. It's fine. 6 o'clock. Well, they're obviously not coming. This wasn't the girls." They wait. Jesus doesn't show up. So the next day, they're still thinking, "He's going to come today. He's going to come today. Lazarus is still alive. Jesus still has time. It'll be today." They're convinced, after all, they are best friends. If my best friend didn't turn up when I was sick, I'd be miffed. And the girls were becoming so. Still, he doesn't come. In our time of desperation, we can fall into the trap of giving God suggestions. Reminding God of our petitions to him does not put more urgency on God. With God, a waiting season is not wasted. It's not a wasted season. For those of you who are waiting for something right now, and you're praying for something and believing for something, and you have faith that God can do something, yet there's no movement, it seems quiet and still, you're in the waiting. I want to give you two things today that will build your faith for the waiting. Firstly, God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Just because he's asking you to wait doesn't mean he's gone, No, you're not having that. Just because God hasn't done it yet doesn't mean he's not going to do it ever. Just because he hasn't answered your prayer now doesn't mean he's not going to answer your prayer. And sometimes he answers those prayers in ways that we aren't comfortable with, weren't expecting, didn't want. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness will not end in death." Jesus knew what was going on. He knew Lazarus was sick. He knew he was still in control. And he knew it would be an opportunity to glorify God. Remember, God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Maybe you yourself have experienced a divine delay. I experienced a divine delay when I had the kids. I wanted kids straight off the bat. It was 3 years before Georgia was born. Yes, I was grumpy about that. Very, very angry and crying. But here they are, both of them, lovely, and at the right time. So time goes by and Jesus has not yet arrived. But they're sure he'll turn up. Their faith in this man is unwavering. they are sure he will turn up. That's what friends do. Yet, Lazarus takes his last breath and he dies. This must have been deeply troubling, confusing, and sorrowful for these girls. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, so why didn't he come? It makes no sense that Jesus didn't show up. When he finally gets there, it's insultingly late. You know, fashionably late and slightly late. This is insultingly late. Like, why bother coming now when it's all done? Lazarus is in the tomb. There's no point in Jesus arriving. The body's been in the tomb for 4 days by the time Jesus gets there. If you are of a medical knowledge, you will know the bodies start to deteriorate around the 4-day mark. So at this point, Lazarus stinks. Now remember, he's in a tomb. He's not embalmed or anything because they're waiting for the right time for embalmment. He's just in a tomb dead. And there's no Glen 20. Remember this. No Glen 20, no hand sanitizer. It's just a bloke stinking up the place. In their culture, 4 days is very significant. Once people held a belief that for 3 days, the spirit of the body would hover over the body in case there was a life miracle, then the spirit could re-enter the body and you'd be alive again. So on the 4th day, they considered you to be completely dead. So at this point, Lazarus is dead with no hope of resurrection. Upon Jesus' arrival at the tomb, a furious Martha has come out to meet him. Can imagine, can't you? She's called him, he hasn't come. Then when he does come, her brother's dead and she is furious. When we read this scripture, though, it almost seems like we're reading it in a contemplative and reflective way. And we sort of say it like, oh, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When in fact, she's probably got a hand on her hip, her finger wagging, because he's a friend of hers, and screaming at him, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Like, this is all your fault. Even in her anger, though, her faith is strong, and she identifies the fact that God will have his way. Our timing is not God's timing, and this fact actually trips us up a lot. Is this where some of us are right now? Are we hurting and wondering why God hasn't turned up? Why God doesn't remove the pain? You'd be surprised what pain can actually benefit us. Are you waiting forever for what seems will never happen? The second thing to remember is this. If God always meets your expectations, he will never have an opportunity to exceed them. In our story today, it seems all hope is lost for poor old Lazarus, and the girls must find a way to move forward. Yet Jesus took their expectation of him and exceeded it. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again, and I will be glorified through this. You thought what you wanted was best, but I had something even better." What you need to understand is that I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. Death is not the end of the game. Mary had an expectation of healing, but Jesus had an expectation of resurrection. What the sister wanted was good, but what Jesus was going to do was better. It is important to understand that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. You're in the waiting zone. With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season. Perhaps God wants to do something. in you before he gets to do something for you. When the team come up and play, they're going to play still. They're going to play the song still. It's a time to reflect. Are you asking God, asking God, asking God? But are you seeking God? Perhaps the things you're asking for aren't what he wants for you. Perhaps you need to spend some more time reflecting on what it is that God would have you do and what God wants to do. Allow God to exceed your expectation of him. Our expectations can never meet what God can do. We always want what we think is best. We need to start practicing allowing God to give us what is exceedingly more than we could ever hope or imagine. As we sing this morning, consider the girls very angry with Jesus for not coming through the way that they had planned for him to. But imagine the glory that they would have felt seeing the resurrection of their brother and knowing that they had pushed for something less than what they've received. It's not always easy, as I've made very clear today. I understand the waiting game. I understand not getting what you wanted. But as children of God, we trust him to do what is best for us. So as the team sing for us this morning, take this opportunity to reflect on your expectation versus what Jesus expects to do for you. Let's sing together.